Do you know you can give without loving? But you can't love without giving. You cannot love without giving. If you want to rob God, stop singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus."
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Did you know God has a surefire investment strategy and that He offers it to all free of charge? Well, this evening, Pastor Brian Grant will be bringing a message that deals directly with that as he draws principles from God's Word that he calls the keys guaranteed to open heaven's windows of blessing. We must warn you, this message is not about some so-called prosperity gospel scheme, the likes of which have become so popular in some circles. Nevertheless, God's Word, the Bible, has some very definite things to say about how we can use our resources in ways that will enrich our lives beyond all expectation or imagination even now. So we invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Malachi and chapter 3 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message entitled, "The Keys That Open Heaven's Windows." Here now is Pastor Grant.
A Sunday school teacher asked her class, "What's the difference between kindness and loving kindness?" A little girl said, "Kindness is like when you ask your mom for a slice of toast and she give you a slice of toast. But loving kindness is when you ask your mother for a slice of toast and she not only gives you a toast, she puts butter and jelly on it." Amen? And you know, our God is a God of loving kindness. Amen? In fact, He not only gives us our toast, butter and jelly, if you don't have an allergy, He may even give you some peanut butter and some guava jelly, amen? Who knows anything about guava jelly? Oh, you haven't tasted jam or jelly until you've had guava jelly. So you put that down on your notes. "I need to get me a bottle of guava jelly." And you put that on the toast the next time with a little cheese, and you'll be singing all day long, amen? But God is not only willing to put jelly on our toast, He's also willing to open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. And today I want to share a message with you, which we have entitled, "The Keys That Open the Windows of Heaven." And as we discuss our theme this morning, I'd like to give you three important keys to take home. And each of these keys is related to a charge that God gave His people in the book of Malachi chapter 3. Three keys, all taken from and all based on a charge that God gave to His people in Malachi chapter 3. So grab hold of your notes and start writing. Key number one, we must walk in close fellowship with the Lord. By the way, listen, don't expect God to open the windows of heaven if you fall short in any one of these keys. We must walk in close fellowship with the Lord. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, God says to His people, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." It's only because I don't change, He says, "why you're not consumed. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Aren't you glad we have such a merciful God that despite our stuff, He hasn't destroyed us? He says, "Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them." Here's what God says, "Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return?" Of course, we see the charge. God's people had strayed away from Him. But the people refused to admit they had strayed. And here's how they responded. Let me interpret or use another version. The NLT says, "Why do we need to return when we have never gone away?" That's really what the people are saying. God said they had strayed. And they said, "Why do we need to return? We have gone astray. It's so easy to convince ourselves that we're okay with God. You know, over the years I've run into all sorts of folks. I've met Christians who are in such a backslidden condition, and somehow when you bring it to their attention, listen, that you look like you've slipped from God. Oh no, not me. Even their best friends who are not Christians realize they have backslidden, but somehow they're unwilling to admit and accept the reality that they have strayed. And this morning, God is asking each of us, have you strayed? God is saying, return to me, and I will return to you. Now, of course, you say, Pastor, didn't you tell us that if once we're Christian, we always be a Christian? You know, too many of us hang our hats on that. That's true. That's true. But listen, if you stray away, you're putting yourself, not only you're putting yourself outside the blessing of God, you're putting yourself under the discipline of God. And I just want you to know that this, you can't lose your salvation, but you can certainly lose your life. Did you hear what I said? You can't lose your salvation, but you can surely lose your life. Read 1 Corinthians 5 and read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and you will find out that because of sin, sometimes God will call a Christian home prematurely because he's not going to leave you here to disgrace his name. And if you're here this morning, my friend, and you are straying, it is God's word to you. Return unto me. Amen. Robert Robinson was once a strong and devoted Christian, but over the years he started to slip away. You know, for a while he wouldn't come to church. For a while he stopped reading his Bible. For a while he stopped praying. And little by little, Robert Robinson slipped away until his heart became very, very cold. But one day he ran into a lady, and when he had introduced himself to the lady, she said, "Wow, Robert Robinson." She says, "What a coincidence. I was just reading a poem by a man by the name of Robert Robinson." And she pulled her book of poetry out of her purse, and she showed him the poem, and she said, "Did you write this? It's a poem that would eventually be put to music." And Robert Robinson nodded his head. He says, "Yes, I wrote the song." And it's a song you most of us know. "Come thou, fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace." He had slipped away despite writing this incredible song that has blessed Christians for so many generations. He had slipped away. His eyes fell to the bottom of the poem, and he read the words, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." He could, his eyes filled with tears. He couldn't even read the last few lines of the poem. And then he said to her, he said, "I really live the words of that song. Prone to wander, that's me. Prone to leave the God I love." And he started crying, but it was a cry not necessarily of penitence at that moment. It was a cry almost like it's too late. And the lady looked at him and she said, "Mr. Robinson, it's not too late." She said, "Mr. Robinson, for you also wrote something else." She said, "You also wrote, here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for your courts above." She said, "Mr. Robinson, it's not too late. You can offer your heart to God again today." And that day, Robert Robinson rededicated his heart and his life to God. And for the rest of his life, he walked faithfully with God. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning who has discovered that you are prone to wander. This morning, God is saying, you may be prone to wander. You may be prone to leave the God you love. But this morning, God comes to you afresh. And he says, listen, it's your time. It's your opportunity. It's your day for a recommitment. And yes, even as we're starting this new year, what a wonderful time to make a recommitment to God and say, God, I'm returning. Amen. Yeah. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for your courts above. Oh, I hope you're going to do that this morning. I hope you'll do that. And perhaps this morning you have never yet opened your heart to Jesus. What a wonderful thing it would be this morning if you will say to him, God, here is my heart. Return to me and I will return to you. Number key number one, we must walk in close fellowship with God. But secondly, we must faithfully honor God with our finances. We must faithfully honor God with our finances. You know, I don't speak much about money, as you all know, but we got to teach about money because it's right here in this book. And there is actually the whole issue of finances and how we give to God actually has a bigger impact on our spiritual lives than we might realize. So look with me here at Malachi chapter 3 as we look at the second charge that God gives to his people. Here's what he says. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, isn't it interesting? You'll see in each charge, the people are disagreeing. God says, you have robbed me. And they say, in what way have we robbed you? God says, in tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Oh, here's God's charge. They were robbing him by not giving all they should. Did you know that Christians are also guilty of robbing God? Money is one of the things they say that you can preach on almost anything in a church, but don't preach about money, because once you start preaching about money, everybody gets quiet. But do you know that Christians are guilty of robbing God? Are you guilty? Did you know that some Christians are afflicted with a terrible disease known as cirrhosis of the giver? And the disease causes us to develop a weakness in our arm. And because of this weakness in our arm, we have a hard time finding a way to get stuff out of our pocket, from our pocket into the offering bag. It's called cirrhosis of the giver. But there is only one known cure for cirrhosis of the giver. Take the afflicted person out of church. As soon as they leave church and they get to the restaurant, suddenly their hand is able to get in, get the money out.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Do you have cirrhosis of the giver? The Jews were robbing God, the Bible tells us, in tithes and in offerings. A tithe is 10% or 1/10 of everything they earned, including 1/10 of whatever their farm produced. And under the law, they were required to give 10% plus an offering. But the people weren't faithful in honoring God. Now, in case you're bad at math, and one of the members came to me some years ago, and she said, Pastor, I'm bad at math. How do I figure 10%? I'll help you out. 10%, all you got to do is leave off the last digit. If you make $300 a week, leave off the zero, make it 30. If you make 506, leave off the six and make it 50. If you make 1,763, leave off the three and make it 176. You got it? Just leave off the last digit and you'll be hitting 10%. Of course, some of the mathematicians will say, but they missed out point something. It's all right, they can keep the pennies. Because they're about to give an offering as well. They'll make up for the penny they missed with the offering. Somebody say amen. Amen. I wonder if God was expecting us to give a tithe and an offering. How many of us would pass the test? In verse 10, God made a huge promise. Look at what he says in verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Man, you talking about promises. This is as big as they get. Amen. He says, bring it into my house and put me to the test. If I'm not going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out so much blessing that you won't have room enough to receive it. Would you love God to do that in your life? Is he capable of doing that in your life? Oh, you all got weak. Is God capable? Is God capable of pouring out blessings in your life that there's not even room enough to receive it? Amen. Hallelujah, he is still able. But I know some people are here and they're just saying, Pastor, I know you're talking about tithing, but are Christians really supposed to tithe? Well, the answer is yes, and the answer is no. You say, make it plain, Pastor. What sort of mixed up answer is that? Yes and no. Well, the answer is no, because tithing was really a requirement under the old covenant, the law, and we Christians are under what? The new covenant that was actually instituted by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we are under a brand new covenant, and under the new covenant, God does not specify an amount or the percent we should give. But although under this new covenant, there's no percentage, many of the principles of the old covenant still apply. And so what I want to do this morning, just very quickly, is to take a look at the New Testament to look at three principles of giving that apply under the new covenant. Amen. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Oh, we could have gone into other passages, but I just want to use one simple text here so we don't have to be jumping around and bouncing around. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and get three principles from this text. Number one, put this down. We should give bountifully. We should give bountifully. Look at 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. And here's what the word of God says. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap. So I put in the notes, we should reap, give bountifully. Now it's true, you could also put there, we should give sparingly. You can. But what we would like to do is to give sparingly and reap bountifully. Wouldn't you love that? I give sparingly and I. But God is making it plain. God is making it plain. There is a relationship between my sowing and what I receive. He says, those who sow sparingly will receive sparingly, and those who sow bountifully will receive bountifully. Moody Press reported a few years ago that the average church member contributes, guess how much? Shout out what you think. You all shy to talk? The average church member gives between 1.5 and 2.5% of their income. 1.5 to 2.5%. My friend, if those under the law were required to give 10%, I believe that those of us who have experienced God's abundant grace should do no less. Amen? Oh, you got quiet on me again. If we have received God's abundant grace, what God has done for us is so much better than what he did for those under the old covenant. And I am saying to you, we ought to be doing much better than what they did under the old covenant. You know, in the New Testament, in the early church, did you realize that they were giving much more than 10%? Oh, when you go home, go look at Acts chapter 4. Take a look from verses 33 to 36. And sometimes we miss this. Sometimes we don't pay attention to these little clues. But here's what my Bible tells me was going on in the early church. The people were doing what? They were selling houses and land. And they were taking the entire proceeds from selling the house and laying it at the apostles' feet. That sounds like more than 10% to you? Of course, Ananias, God was working so incredibly mightily. Stuff was happening like crazy. And Ananias, all we all know about Ananias and Sapphira. You see, we sometimes miss the story because we get caught up with the Ananias and Sapphira distraction. Ananias and Sapphira seen people are selling houses and giving it to God. And they said, man, we will sell our house too. But we're going to keep back part of the money. Now, by the way, let's be clear. If you sell your house for $250,000 and you don't bring it all to church, it's okay. The issue why God judged Ananias and Sapphira is not because they didn't give all of what they had. The issue is they lied. They were saying, effectively, we are giving everything we sold this thing for, but they're only giving a little piece of the pie. You can keep all of it if you want to. You wouldn't have lied. You can keep it all. You can keep 99%. I'm going to show you in a minute. We should give bountifully. But secondly, we should give cheerfully. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, or she purposes, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loves a. You know, some churches post lists. Did you know that some church, there's a list of everybody's name with the amount you give? Oh, did you know that? Some churches, this is the latest deal now. Some churches ask you to bring in your income tax return. Oh, did you know that? Did you know that? If to be a member, you have to bring in your income tax return so the elders or the pastor can sit down and he can say, you made so much a year, here's what you have to give. And they check up on you and make sure you're giving your tithe. Amen? Can I promise you one thing? We ain't going to put up a list. We are not asking for your tax return. Don't worry, you can give as little as you want because the pastor and the elders will not have a clue that you're not giving because we don't get a report on what anybody in this church gives because my Bible says as you purpose in your heart, you give. As you purpose in your heart, you give. And listen, if you want to purpose to give $5, go right ahead, help yourself. But please, just remember principle one. What is principle one? If we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.